of these days we'll do our jobs right.
Good
not
thing
today.
This, good thing this isn't a paid job.
Yeah, good thing this isn't our actual job because we're bad at it.
We're bad at it, and it's only our 6th episode.
Honestly, I'm surprised we made it to 6, and I'm proud of us.
I genuinely thought this was going to be like a one and done kind of thing.
I was worried it was going to be like, we're going to record one episode, and then I'd be embarrassed about it, and we wouldn't do any more.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the first thing I followed through with.
Yeah, right? This is insane.
Well,
I don't know who we are anymore.
I don't either. This is a little crazy.
Welcome back to the Trying Our Best podcast.
Welcome to my podcast.
Welcome back.
That's how I should start the podcast.
That's how we should always start it.
Welcome to my podcast.
Yeah, you do that and I go, welcome back. In a really irritating voice. That's our new intro.
Oh, wow. Oh, we have an intro.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
We done it. I love it.
Got it.
Do finger guns on a podcast.
Yep, yeah, because they can see it.
If you ever hear this again, it's finger guns.
Absolutely. There's no snaps. It's just
finger guns. I'm so sorry that we're snapping at people on headphones. I don't know. I feel like it'll just be really jarring. You know?
I didn't think about that.
Sorry if it is, but if it's not, I bet it
was
really
cool.
But
we did it a lot, so yeah.
I bet it was super cool and you want to hang out with us.
That's a big statement there.
Yeah. You know, that's what life's about.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome to episode 6. Here we are. We're doing it.
The 6th week.
The 6th week. 1.5 months.
So weird.
Insanity.
I've never followed through with anything for 1.5 months.
I don't think I have either. That's like longer than all of my relationships. Not all of them.
Can't relate.
Just got way too deep about who I am.
I'm a serial monogamist, so like, oh. I'm like, I would like, I can't not
I
be
just,
in a relationship.
Oh, I just hate others, so I don't want to. I don't want to be in a relationship because like having a boyfriend or a girlfriend is so much work.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
It's a
me and my cat zero work. I just have to like feed him. That's
why
I got a cat.
Yeah, I just had to find someone that liked cats as much as I did.
I want someone who like. I date someone who's, like, their job is, like, traveling. Like, I don't really want to see them that often.
Yeah, that's kind of the perfect thing.
Yeah, I think it'd be ideal. Because, like, oh, we get to hang out. Oh, we gotta leave for 3 months. Oh, no.
I don't like to. You should date a diver. Oh, we'll talk
do
about
divers
that later.
Do that?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about all of that later.
Oh,
I've got a lot of info on that.
I love that.
Yeah. It works for a lot of people, for sure.
Yeah, I'll hit up a diver.
Yeah, I'm very, lonely all the time,
okay.
And I don't like to be alone.
See,
so.
I'm very lonely, but it's a comfortable loneliness where I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is my life.
I can't do it.
But when I have like a significant other, I'm like,
I'm very. You guys, I'm so sorry. My cat is for the first time in his entire life decided that he was going to try to kill something.
I'm proud of him.
He didn't succeed.
You're probably going to hear a dog crying and a cat eating the blinds or scratching.
Or
something.
Scratching, or
like,
even just
that's just what
just
happens
him.
Sometimes.
I'm not going to. Well, not hit him, but, like,
he tried to strike.
No.
Bubba. I'm calling his bluff.
That's not right, baby.
Neptune, we trust
oh,
you.
Oh, he bit me.
Yeah, he bit me, too.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's just going to keep happening because we don't want to get bit.
Yeah, everyone that knows us, though, knows that, like, you will always... I don't know if they can hear him breathing.
I can hear him snorting.
But my cat has a hard time, like, he has a stuffy nose 90% of his life, so when he tries to smell stuff, he's like, it's like a lot of...
He just has to breathe so hard right now.
Oh, he's just precious. And he's also fat, so
that probably doesn't help.
Yeah. I can't help it. He loves food. I can't take it away from him.
He's perfect, though. Even though he just bit both of us, I still love him.
Today I took a nap and my head was on the pillow and I was sleeping great. And then I woke up and I was 3 inches away from where I was before, slid over from my dog and then like scooting me to the side. And then I didn't have my pillow because Neptune sleeps on my pillow.
It's all about sacrifices for your children.
I don't even care. Like, honestly, yeah. I woke up and I was just like, oh, hi, babe. Like,
yeah.
I love
you
so
love
much.
It.
Yeah.
I got home from camping today, and Leo just screamed for, like, 10 minutes because he was so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yeah.
I had to try to calm him down, but he was just living his best life, yelling at me for being gone.
They like when I come home, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
They're kind of like dogs, but, like, better.
Yeah, Leo's like a dog, but I can hide him in my apartment.
I love Leo.
Great. Oh, he's perfect.
Little witch
him.
Cat.
Yeah, he is a little witch cat.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's another episode about us talking about our cats.
Yeah, I don't, this is what the people expect. I say the people and I mean all 10 of you.
But we love all 10 of them.
We love all 10 of you. Also, big news, we're on Spotify.
Oh my god, our pleas have
our pleas have been heard. Spotify, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You listened to us and we cried and we poured our hearts out for you about wanting to be on Spotify so bad. Now that we're there, y'all should go listen on Spotify.
Yeah, I bet they were just embarrassed that we keep talking about them and they're like, we just let them on and they'll shut
they're
up.
Like, they seem a little desperate. Yeah, we could throw them a bone.
Yeah, well, we are desperate, sounds like.
Absolutely, we absolutely are. Let's talk about like technical difficulties last week.
Oh, yeah, last week there was a lot of technical difficulties. We still don't have mics because we're
okay. I thought this, since we both thought this might be a one and done thing, we did not file the appropriate equipment beforehand, and we still haven't because I don't have a reason.
I had a reason.
I wish I had a valid reason, but we're working on it. So the audio is going to get better, but for last week, it was garbage. We're sorry about that. What could have been a really fun episode turned into just ear blood.
My cat's mouth is just open. Oh, no, I closed it. Oh, he just was standing there with his mouth open. I don't know why.
He'll do that.
He was upset with us as well.
He was pretty mad at us.
Yeah, okay, so you should expect the quality to get better.
Yeah.
And, I feel like I was going to say that, but I forgot.
We're looking for, like, an intro song. So if anyone is a musician or, like, knows a cool indie musician who would like to, like, let us use one of their songs, that would be wonderful.
I think our goal is, like, something spooky romantic.
Spooky romantic, but also synthwave.
I've never heard that word before, but whatever the fuck she just said. That sounds way better than my term.
Synthwave.
Yeah, that sounds so much better. I don't know what that is, but it sounds
good. It doesn't have to be synthwave. It could be, like, spooky romantic kind of anything, but, like, I think it'd be really on brand to have something spooky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all we talk about.
Yeah. I also want to apologize for my voice today, because I've been screaming for 2 days.
Sound normal to me.
That's really good. I hope I sound normal on the podcast, too, because I feel like I sound like I smoke 3 packs a day. Which is inaccurate, because I smoke 4 packs a day.
That's my goal, is to have a raspy voice, but I don't. And so... Yeah. I'm sorry for my voice just being alive.
We're both just going to apologize for who we are.
Yeah, we do that every
That podcast. Feels right. Yeah, so on this one we wanted to, like, mix it up a little. We're doing, like, a special of sorts.
Yeah, so instead of us doing 2 separate stories or 2, like, picking 1 broad topic and then doing a subtopic of that, we are doing 1 topic because there's just so much information and it's hard to, like, break it down into, I don't know, like, different things. So
yeah, having to cover a topic as big as this one in, like, a small portion of time, like half the podcast, would be very hard.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of things that are, like, really in depth like this, we want to do, like, specials
for. Yeah, especially things that we're, like, super, I don't want to say I'm passionate about this.
I know you're passionate about this.
Yeah, but it's like kind of a shitty thing to be passionate about.
I'd say you're
passionate
about like the psychological implications of it.
Yeah, that's true. I really love my, I'm sorry, you can probably hear my cat.
I really hope everyone can hear his little snorts.
Poor guy. I swear to God, you guys, he's okay.
He's a little kitty cat sleep apnea mask.
He's perfectly normal. He just gets a stuffy, perfectly normal, absolutely perfect. He just needs, of course, right before we started recording, he was laying down.
He was chilling. He was asleep.
Completely asleep.
We
started talking and now he's awake and just getting into whatever he can possibly find. So that's great.
I'm proud of him. More than anything. Just always.
Okay.
The wall. This is going
bad. Okay, so this week's topic is about Jonestown, which is basically a nickname that people gave it for Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Just to give a little backstory on it, it's really about the People's Temple. And I don't know how to, like, introduce it, but if you've never heard of it, if you've ever heard of the term of, like, don't drink the Kool-Aid, this is where this came from. And I think it might have been, they claim it as a mass suicide,
but it's also been called a massacre.
Yeah, it's also been called a massacre, which, I'm very sorry. He likes to play now. it's been called a massacre, it's been called a mass suicide. I think when it first came out, everybody thought that
It was a mess.
Well, I guess we'll get it. Yeah, I think we'll get into that.
We can go into the definition of it.
Yeah, why it's both. But so, okay. Well, I guess I'll start out.
Yeah, where did all this shit begin?
Oh, my God. Fuck. Okay. Oh, sorry. It's the People's Temple Agricultural Project. That's like the full fucking name of it. But the informal name of it is Jonestown, after Jim Jones, who is basically, well, not basically, he was the leader.
He was like the pastor.
Yeah. I don't think that he called himself a pastor because he was so into like being a socialist. And,
He was the leader.
Yeah. But it did start out as like
Also, side note, which is really funny and I wanted to tell you, one of my friends from high school, when she was 9 years old, went as Jim Jones for Halloween.
Wow. Which that's is a bold funniest choice. Thing.
Because all her friends are like, one was like, I'm a Bumblebee. One was like, I'm Lizzie from Charlie Brown. And the other, she was like, I'm Jim Jones. And I like, she went into like the history of what he did. And everyone
it's
was
so
funny
because
her.
It's just like a guy. Like, it's just he doesn't look he like me. Yeah. Like there's nothing like distinctive about him.
He's just a white dude. And she thought, she wanted to dress up as Jim Jones. She was like, there's nothing scarier than humanity. And she's like,
oh my God.
Funniest thing ever. Shout out to Naya.
Oh, wow. I want to meet her. I kind of like her. I don't know her, but
it was really funny. As soon as you suggested this topic, I was like, we got to talk about this.
that's amazing. Okay. So it's the People's Temple Agricultural Project or Jonestown. Mm-hmm. And it was a remote settlement established by the People's Temple, an American cult, which I think a lot of people think because it wasn't in America, like, it wasn't technically in America when all this happened, but it's like an American cult. Like, I think almost every single person there, was American.
Yeah. We'll get into it. Actually, I was going to say something.
Yeah. I know. It's so hard because it's just like, because it's so fucked up.
Oh, it's so fucked up. This is insane.
Like, it's the weirdest.
I watched a couple like videos about it, and I like when I was doing like some research, I was like, "This is absolutely insane. This is so fucked
up." I know.
Up.
There's a I can't remember if it's on. I think it's on Amazon Prime that you can watch it, but there's either that or Hulu. I know it's not on Netflix, but it's called Jonestown: The Paradise Lost.
Oh,
and it goes in.
Paradise Lost is a great like.
Yeah, and so it's
analogy for this.
Yeah, one. Exactly, and so it's about It's about, those are about the final days. I don't think I didn't fully watch it because it's one thing to read about something like this, but then see it. And they, from what I watched, what I was able to get through, they did a great job of like accuracy and they had real, cause some people have survived.
Yeah.
They ran or they pretended to be dead or whatever. And, they were like recounting the last couple days leading up to it. And it's just like,
that's crazy.
Fucking crazy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, oh my God, I can't imagine fucking being in that position.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let's explain what that position is.
Let's explain this whole
They're probably like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Like, this is really great, really vague stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it, but you're all the vague stuff.
okay, so, it was Reverend Jim Jones.
Reverend Jim Jones, there we go.
Okay, yeah. So, anyways, he was the leader. He was the founder, the leader, all of the above. Like, basically, he was their fucking god.
Ooh.
How do you say it? Guyana?
I think it's Guyana.
Okay, that's how I've heard it pronounced, but, like, I don't want to be offensive.
Yeah, it's Guyana.
Anyways, it became notoriously, it became known, November 18th, 1978, when a total of 918 people died in the settlement, and at the airstrip, which we'll get into what the airstrip is all
about. I have a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, the airstrip part is really trippy too.
Yeah.
Which, and when I mean airstrip, it's like an actual, like where planes fly in. It's like an actual airstrip that people.
In like Jonestown.
In Jonestown, yeah. Or this is in, because Jonestown was basically in.
That was a commune, right?
Yeah, but it was Jonestown was based in Georgetown, like which is Guyana's capital city. Yeah. Like that's where it started, and they built like this. They built this huge thing, and then the airstrip was in Port Katuma. Fuck, I don't know, but but it's like super close. Like it's obviously a driving distance. Yeah. But they can't put like an airstrip like right fucking there.
In the commune.
Yeah. But it's like, I think it's just like on the other side of the jungle or whatever. Okay. So 909 individuals died in Jonestown. All but two from apparent cyanide poisoning in an event termed revolutionary suicide by Jones and some of the members that were on this audio tape, which we didn't talk about this before, but we can play some of the audio tape if you want.
Oh, okay.
If you want, the only problem is that, it's pretty fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up.
Like the way that he talks is pretty scary. And I think that, it scares me to play it a little bit just because he's telling people how to die, and then they drink it, and then they all die.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize we could like play the tape.
It's so all insane. On tape, and it's called the death tape.
Oh my!
Which is like, I think
should probably give people a choice of whether or not they listen to it. Or
yeah, I think.
I don't know. I'm so intrigued.
I know. I
that sick side of me that wants to listen to it, but like my human side is like maybe don't.
I'll like link.
Yeah, you put the link.
I'll link it in case you guys want to listen to it, but I'm not gonna play it on here just because it's a little. Yeah, it's just such a fucking tragedy, and like to know that these people like died
because
on this tape, it just freaks me out a little bit. And I'm pretty like, I almost said something really bad. I'm pretty like. neutral when it comes to listening to that kind of stuff, but the way that
really affect you,
but the way that this guy talks like freaked me out, and I think it was come back to like what we said, like me and Carlin are very gullible people, and so I could totally
I know that about myself. I'm like, I could be convinced to join.
I would completely be convinced in a heartbeat. Like you could I'm like the most fucking gullible person. Yeah. I know. You could fucking tell me that the sky is purple and I'd be like,
I'd be like, yeah, it is. You're right.
Just give me like one or two like vague facts and I'm like, I fucking
say
get
it was aliens. I'll be like, you're right. It was.
It absolutely wasn't aliens. That wasn't a fucking plane. It was a fucking alien for sure. You see the triangle on it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how planes work, but
idiot.
Yeah. No, I have no idea how planes work, but I know that that's not how planes are.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I think the number, like when I heard about Jonestown, I didn't think it was that many people, but 918 people died. Yeah.
Which is insane.
Almost
1,000 people died.
And this is before the, like,
that was like the biggest, like, loss of like American people before until 9/11. Like that was like the event that had like the highest death toll until 9/11 happened.
Right. And I think that also like the 918, is the number of the suicides, but once you like hear about Jim Jones, like how many people did he get rid of before then?
Exactly.
You like, have no
there
idea.
Could be so many more.
Yeah, because he's just a fucking psychopath.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyways, yeah, so there's that tape. And then the poisonings in Jonestown followed the murder of five others by temple members at the airstrip, including a United States Congressman, Leo Ryan, which was an act that Jones ordered. And then four other temple members committed murder-suicide in Georgetown at Jones's command. Which Georgetown was, like, Jonestown. That was, like, the actual one.
Okay.
But it's just kind of confusing because it's Jonestown and Georgetown. So, like, Georgetown is the actual town.
Yeah.
That,
I'm really happy my computer is doing this right now. Just one sec.
I'm just making sure that it's still working.
Oh, I believe so. Okay, it looks like we're still going.
Okay, great. Georgetown is the, like,
actual town. Yeah. And then Jonestown is the commune.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Murder-suicide is when Fuck, I forgot.
Murder suicide is when someone kills a bunch of people and then kills himself.
Yes.
Kills someone
yes.
and then kills himself.
Right. That's what murder suicide is. Okay, so backstory on Jonestown, or the People's Temple, or whatever you want to call it. It was found in Indianapolis, Indiana in 1955. And they started out as a Christian revival, like, church. And it practiced what is called, what is that? What is that?
Oh my god,
What is that?
Apostolate.
I don't want to say it wrong. Socialism. So basically they, like, he based most of his preachings and all of this stuff off of, like, Russian preachings.
Okay.
Like, he was really, yeah, he was, and a lot of people, asked, when they were trying to get out, they asked Russia for help as well, like, as well as the United States, because, they, like, a lot of them, grew up in this, and so they only knew, like, socialism, like, and they knew that that's what he based it off of was Russia.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, keep going.
No, you're fine.
I'm just like, this topic gets to me, dude.
I know, me too.
It's like, this is so much.
It's so much, and it's so,
it's like so interesting, but it's also so heavy.
It's really fucking, when I first heard about it, I had only heard of, like, the term don't drink the Kool-Aid or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
And I didn't really know, a lot about it, which is so weird, because I don't know why, did they not teach you this in high
school? Oh, well, they don't tell us about this.
Yeah, they didn't tell me about this at all.
It's like, crazy, because, like, this happened in the 70s, and the 70s were a crazy time for, like, cults and stuff, because, like, Heaven's Gate happened in the 70s,
exactly.
And a bunch of other stuff. Like, cults and serial killers were big.
Yeah.
Like, shit was hitting the fan.
And so you would have think that, you would have thought that, they would have, I don't know, taught about this, but I didn't hear anything about this in high school.
I
feel like it's
my own research.
Yeah. 918 people died, and you need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, the temple preached that those who remained drugged with the opiate of religion had to be brought to enlightenment, which they thought enlightenment was socialism.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what they thought. In the early 1960s, Jones visited Guyana, which was then still a British colony.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know that.
Yes, which he was on his way to establish a short-lived temple mission in Brazil.
Okay.
That's why he was there. Anyways, he received a lot of criticism in Indiana, which makes sense,
yeah.
Because Indiana's not the fucking place to...
No, Indiana's not a
start some,
place,
like, revolutionary thing, right?
I don't think Indiana's really open to socialism.
I don't think that they're really open to, like, a revolution.
Yeah, they're not into that.
Which is fine. I mean,
I'd be fine not being into this.
Yeah, I'd be fine with
good for Indiana.
This not being the right choice. Anyway, so then he moved it to Redwood Valley, California, which obviously California has had a lot of hippies at that time.
Yeah.
So, people ready for a change.
Yeah.
So
in the 70s. Like,
yeah, it was 70s, and this guy was promising a lot of change and promising a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he moved it there in 1965, and then he opened more locations. Yeah, fucking 60s. And then he opened more locations in California. I think he had one in LA at one point.
So this is where he gained his following.
Yeah, he gained a huge following. Not only did he gain a huge following, but he was so different than a lot of other cult leaders, where, like, a lot of cult leaders want to keep this secret.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, like, if, I don't want to offend people, but, like, if you think about Scientology, it's all a secret.
Yeah.
Like, everything that happens inside.
Oh, yeah.
The Warren Jeffs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, all a fucking secret. They don't talk about anything. And I think it's because they know that they're fucking wrong.
Absolutely.
Anything that you have to keep a secret, like, you know you're fucking...
Yeah, you're not a secret society.
No,
you're fucking shit up.
Yeah, you're just fucking shit up, and you know you're doing something wrong.
Looking at you, Tom Cruise.
Oh, fucking Tom Cruise. I really liked him before. Well, I guess I didn't really like him, but...
I've always been pretty neutral on Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I didn't really care, but now I fucking hate him.
Yeah. Well, it's also, like, wasn't Jim Jones, like, super charismatic, too?
Yes.
And this is, like... part of it, like,
oh, it was absolutely part of it. Like, he made everyone believe that he could cure people, and that
he was doing, like, faith healing.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so this whole, like, that's basically what he based everything
on.
Yeah, I have a story in here too that I'll get into, because it was like, and this, there's, like, a clip of it too, of this woman. Oh fuck, I'll get into it. Okay. But yeah, no, so he got a lot of like public figures to support him.
Oh,
like people in politics, like all all sorts of people were like supporting him and saying how great he was. And it was because he had such a large following that it was beneficial for both of them. Like you see the first lady supporting you, you know? So he was in contact with some of the highest level politicians in the United States. He personally met with Vice President candidate Walter Mondale and First Lady Rosalind Carter. My life.
Fine.
But then he had like a bunch of like congressmen, those kind of people too. Like
also
he was
backing
like,
him?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, and like on a more personal level, like they were actually like
they were buds,
like buddies. Which is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, that is horrifying.
It's like horrifying because where have we seen this before?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And every fucking. Anyways, not gonna get into that. Okay, so getting into the woman who could suddenly walk, there's this huge clip, and he's basically on a fucking stage, and he has this giant fucking crowd of people like right in front of him, just this giant crowd of like people when he's preaching and he's saying like if you don't think that I can heal people or whatever, and he's like I can heal people, all this random shit.
Okay,
just
spewing. So he's talking a real big game.
Oh, a really big game, right? Yeah. And then he basically says like you need to let me in and whatever, and there's this woman in a wheelchair and he's like I'm going to heal you and you're going to walk again. And then all of a sudden you see her stand up and she's like really shaky and wobbly and like she's trying really hard. And then by the end of the clip, she's fucking doing sprints around.
Seriously.
Yeah. And she's like this bigger, older lady. Like she's probably like in her late 50s, early 60s. And all of a sudden now
she's
sprinting
around and can walk again.
Like literally in a matter of minutes, she cannot walk in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And then she's sprinting around the crowd of people. And of course everybody freaks out. They think it's like this giant miracle. And he's done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he continues to do it over and over again, where he can heal blind people. He can all types of stuff. Like people can see, people can walk again. They were really sick or they had cancer. And now all of a sudden they don't have cancer. Just a bunch of like random shit that.
So was he planting people in the audience?
So the person that was in the wheelchair was actually his secretary.
Really?
Yeah, which nobody knew.
Oh my
and
God.
Then now, like once they were able
once
to
it came
speak,
out,
yeah,
yeah,
once they were able to speak out, and he was dead. They said that, like, yeah, that was this miracle. He it was really just
his
fucking secretary who was also super brainwashed by him.
Oh, of course, you're Jim Jones's secretary.
Yeah, and that's how all of the people that, like, were his really close, like, confidants or whatever.
Were absolutely brainwashed by him.
Absolutely brainwashed. Thought that he was the greatest gift that has ever graced the world.
Mm-hmm.
And would do anything for him, even fucking lie about this random shit.
Hoping
which is so
crazy.
How do you convince someone to do that? Like, you're going to pretend to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah. But also, like, they're keeping it a secret. It's not faith-healing people that they're just pretending to be in a wheelchair.
I know.
Oh, Neptune's opening the door to let
my cat's leaving.
Goodbye. Bye, bud.
I'm going to go shut that really quick.
That's fair. But he can't decide if he wants to leave or not, probably because of the barricade.
Probably.
There he goes. We were getting really heated about it, too. I love it. Cat just lets himself out.
Okay. About that taken care
Nothing
of.
Makes me more angry than faith healers. I get so pissed about this shit. Like, as someone who, like, I see myself as a fairly, like, scientific person.
Yeah.
And, like, anyone who's, like, talking about, like, faith, he's letting himself out again. Like, it's just absolutely insane to me.
I know.
Like, someone would take advantage of people like that.
Completely taking it. And I think it has to do with, like, his mental health, you know? Like,
absolutely.
He just couldn't.
Oh, he's an absolute crazy man.
Oh, he's psycho.
No one who kills 900 people is not insane.
No, and he did all of the orders too. And later on, we'll talk about how like his mental health was and stuff towards the end of this. But his mental and physical health was fucked basically towards the end. Yeah,
he couldn't faith heal himself.
No, and fuck no.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry about that.
Is that the dog?
Yeah.
Thor, what are you doing? Neptune's all over it. Yeah.
We did okay.
It. Back in business.
Okay, back in business. Okay, so
back to the killing.
Back to the murders. That's
a horrible joke to make.
We are fucked up. Okay, so also, this is just, like, the life in Jonestown. Like, this is just, like, kind of, like, how it was. His voice would constantly play over the loudspeaker whenever he wanted, whatever he wanted to play. Like, he would play.
He would just play.
Sometimes it was just, like, an alarm. Sometimes it was just, like, him preaching, like, recording. Sometimes it was, like, a bunch of other random shit. Okay. Just, like, whatever he felt like he was playing.
He would just play it.
Yeah. People had to work 6 days a week and long hours. And they were working like 12 something hours at times. And then
like everyone who's living there was also working there, like, right.
Yeah.
Like they to keep the commune up.
Yeah. Because, but they also, they still weren't self-sustainable.
Oh,
they had to get shipments in from, America all the time because they, from the U.S. Embassy, because they couldn't, they couldn't support themselves still.
Okay.
Which makes sense. Like they, I don't think that they had like, I don't know if they had a farm like for like animals and stuff to get meat and stuff. But even though they had that,
like their agriculture wasn't strong enough.
Yeah, because I don't think that the soil was rich enough there.
He let himself out a third time. This is incredible.
This is getting annoying. It never ends with the animals.
Neptune, it's really too bad he learned how to let himself out. We can take a break right now and put them out.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay, we'll be back. More Jonestown coming up. Like, honestly.
Okay.
Finger guns.
Still
that's how you know the podcast started. How else are they even going to know?
You don't. Okay, sorry about that break.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back.
The cat has been...
let out.
He's been let out. He wanted out so bad.
And hopefully won't come back until we're done with this.
Yeah. Jonestown, part two, take one.
Let's do it. Okay, anyways. So yeah, they had to work a lot, and his wife, like, once he started feeling like sick and stuff, his wife took over that aspect of it.
Okay. And so she was like running the commune.
Kind of, yeah, like the day-to-day
stuff. Is he one
of
the cult leaders that has like a million wives, or did he just have one?
I think just one.
Okay.
I
guess that's okay.
Yeah, I never heard anything about him like being like sexually abusive or anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Yeah, I just know like I read about like he had a very, like, progressive family, and that's also one of the reasons people were following him.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, adopted a bunch of kids, like, he had a multiracial family, and, like...
Yeah. Well, and he also made everyone there call him, like, dad or father.
He made everyone call him dad?
And, like, even the adults.
Wait, what the hell? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and...
Excuse me, dad?
Yeah,
can I have some more cool
and things? He would, like, adopt, like, other people's kids there.
Really?
Yeah, so most of the time,
so everyone just called him dad.
Yeah, this is getting into, like... like the really like deep stuff of it, but like he would make like the children that were born there weren't
they like his?
They were like everybody's. Like they were like shared children. So like I guess that they only got to see their biological parents most of the time at night, and they weren't.
Weird.
Yeah, and so it was basically like all of these kids were just like everyone's kids.
Side note: this is reminding me a lot of a book. Year of the Flood by Margaret Atwood. Check it out. Oh, it's about, like, there's part of it where it's just about, like, a commune where they're, like, living in, like, a post-apocalyptic scenario.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, they worship the one dude, like, the main leader of the commune, and their whole thing is that they're self-sustainable and, like,
oh, crazy.
That they're, like, good for the environment, and, like, read any Margaret Atwood book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll make you sad, but read Year of the Flood.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. It's, I'm seeing all the parallels right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
I wonder if any of it's based off of.
Oh, I'm sure something
crazy.
Was. Yeah.
So yeah, there was like a lot of like deep stuff that was happening there that didn't come out until a lot after.
Yeah.
But because a lot of like the kids were killed.
Yeah.
So they, you know, you didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess everyone had to call him like father or whatever.
To lighten it up, did anyone call him Daddy?
Did anyone call him Zaddy?
Hey, Zaddy. This is Zaddy. He is our leader. He runs the calling.
Oh, you fucking die. I bet that that's
Zaddy Jim Jones.
I bet that that's what the cults are going to be like when we're like really, really old.
Those are going to be cults. They're all be wearing snapbacks and calling each other, hey, Zaddy.
And like high, those Nike socks.
Yeah. The Nike, like, mid-rise.
Yeah, socks.
Or whatever. Half-calf.
Half-calf, that's what it is. Yeah.
Oh, the half-calf and slide.
Everyone I know
wears this. This is Zaddy.
He just takes selfies all day and has way too much fake tan on. He's just basically, like, from the Jersey Shore.
He 100% is DJ Pauly D.
Oh, my God. He was actually my favorite. Vinny was my favorite, but.
You were Vinny. I love Pauly D.
I did love Pauly D. He was actually the funniest.
He was the funniest.
Like, he would just be like.
He was entertaining.
He was the most entertaining, and I never saw him.
Situation, great, but, like, Pauly D, better.
Way better. yeah, all of the other ones got into way too much drama, and I love Pauly D, which is like, I don't give a fuck about any of this.
Pauly D, as much as you can on the Jersey Shore, stay in his own lane.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it. Yeah, I mean, you can't all the way do it.
I did think that he was the funniest.
Oh,
I think I was just into Vinny.
I would join his cult.
His Zaddy cult.
Zaddy.
Oh, God.
Zaddy, the crops are growing so well.
Oh, my God. That's fucking horrible. That's
terrible.
So gross.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so what's wrong with us? It's fine.
That's why we don't have any sponsors. Jones is Zaddy.
That's why. That's
exactly why.
Okay, so this is the fall of Jonestown. Like, this is where it all started to go to shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a lot of the families of people in Jonestown back in America thought that they were being held there against their will. So that prompted Congressman Leo Ryan, who was he was an activist in a lot of his own rights. Like, he fought for a lot of things, which is why he went. But he also, he went because he was friends with the father of Bob Houston, who was a temple member in California, whose mutilated body was found near train tracks on October 5th, 1976. 3 days after a taped telephone conversation with Houston's ex-wife in which leaving the temple was discussed.
Oh my God.
Which is why I feel like, you know,
918 is the number for that event, but he probably killed so many more people.
Yeah, and he probably had sick. Yeah, exactly. And, so on November 14th.
That's so scary.
Oh, it's terrifying.
God,
it's
that's
like,
so scary.
And I think that that's what he was like, okay. So a lot of the families got together and they were called concerned relatives, as they called themselves, and which is just like exactly what they were. There wasn't like some like group name, but that they were called the concerned relatives.
Oh, that was actually their name.
Yeah, even it was like some,
oh,
like,
I thought it was like group. Like one is called like auntie and one is uncle. Like if that's just their name, like the concerned relatives.
Yeah, like as a group, they call themselves the concerned relatives, even though it's just the description of what they are.
Oh my.
They couldn't come up with a better. It's fine.
They couldn't be.
I guess they don't really need a
they
better
don't
name.
Need a better name. I think
they
jazz
were,
up the story,
yeah,
and really
think,
make it a little lighter.
I think they were doing a good job. Anyway, so a lot of people got together with Congressman Ryan and because he had that experience, he was like fucking into it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, fuck this, we're going there. On November 14th, 1978, Congressman Ryan flew to Jonestown along with the 18 other people. Some of them were like news reporters, some of them were cameramen. A couple of them were the concerned relatives, and I think that's it.
Yeah, I know, like, NBC had, like, reporters
there
and, like, cameramen and, like, a whole crew
to
see what was going down
there. Yeah, exactly. Well, because it was, like...
It was a mystery.
And he and Jones wanted people to come there and see, like, what was going on. He was, like...
He was so narcissistic that he wanted
he was, like, come down.
Away.
There's nothing to fear here. Everybody's having a good time. And if they wanted to leave, they could have left. Super not the fucking case.
Not the case.
Okay, so in the early morning of November 18th, mind you, that's the day that all of this shit happened. So a lot of things happened before that day. Once they got there, Congressman Leo was him and I think four of the concerned relatives were the only ones that were allowed to go to the
commune?
The commune. Okay. Yeah. They were the only ones that were allowed to go, which was very weird because he knew that all of these people were coming. And I think it was just him being afraid that, like, they were going to show up with, like, a bunch of, like, guns or whatever.
Yeah. Like, they were going to bring, like, the military and this.
Also, mind you, they had guns. Like, the People's Temple had guns.
Oh.
They shipped in guns from America.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and everybody there was like, why the fuck do we need guns? Like,
yeah.
Like, this is, like, the most peaceful.
Yeah, it's a peaceful, like, agricultural commune.
Yeah, he called it a utopia.
Yeah, and but they get guns.
But they had guns, which is, like, everybody was like, why the fuck do we need guns?
So it's clearly not a utopia.
No, exactly. And now people are, like, starting to come forward and be like, it was super weird that we had guns and that, like, his the people that were closest to him had guns, and it felt like they were trying to keep him, like, keep all of the other people in line.
Yeah.
And mind you, there's, like, about 1,000 people there. It was massive. It wasn't, like, a fucking little, I mean, even Warren Jeff's, like, little thing doesn't.
Oh, no.
No, compare it to this.
Doesn't compare at all to the scope of this. There's so many people.
It's fucking.
I know.
It gives me chills and stuff. Crazy. Okay, so, yeah, so they had guns, and but I don't think that the congressman had guns. I don't think that they came armed at all because they were told it was a fucking utopia. Why do you need a gun? Also, I'll get into a conspiracy theory about the gun thing too, because that's really it has to do with the CIA.
Absolutely.
I know. In the early morning of November 18th, 11 temple members sensed danger and walked out of Jonestown all the way to the town of Matthews Ridge in the opposite direction of the airstrip. Those defectors included members of the family of Jonestown head security, Joe Wilson, which is like a big fucking no-no.
Yeah.
Like first of all, he's head of security. Mm-hmm. You're not going fucking anywhere.
Oh, absolutely not.
When journalists and members of the concerned relatives arrived in Jonestown later that day, because that was the day that they were allowed into Jonestown, they arrived on the 14th, and I think Congressman Leo and Congressman Ryan and four other people were allowed in there. That's it. Out of the 18.
Oh shit.
The rest of them were allowed to come in on the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And a person named Marceline Jones, who I think is Jim Jones' wife, gave him a tour of the settlement.
Okay.
That afternoon, the Parks and the Bogue family arrived with in-laws Christopher O'Neill and Harold Cordell. And they stepped forward and asked to be escorted out of Jonestown by the Ryan delegation, by, like, all of Ryan's people.
Yeah.
Congressman Ryan's people. And at first, Jones said it was okay for them to leave and decided that they were just trying to destroy the camp. So, like, at first, he there's also a clip of this, too, where he mm-hmm. – because now, at this point, all of the news people were allowed in there. And
so he had to really put on a show.
Yeah, so he was just like, of course people can leave. Like,
yeah, they can leave
said,
whenever they
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I've always said, he's like, if they don't want to be here, they don't have to be here. And he, mm-hmm. the way he sounds, like, at the beginning of when Jonestown was created, he was very enthusiastic, very charming, very full of life.
Yeah.
Just a person that, like, seems like they have their shit together.
Yeah.
Towards the end, it is so noticeable, like, how his mental health has completely
deteriorated. Yeah, like a complete descent into madness.
Yeah, even the way that he was saying it, he was just like, well, of course they can leave. Like, he was very harsh and just not the same. And I don't know if it was because people were trying to deflect at that time or, like, what it was, but it was, there's, like, a huge difference in his mood and everything.
Because he already had his followers. He didn't need to keep being charismatic.
No, exactly. Yeah, he has 1,000 people following
him. And 1,000 people living in his commune.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
So, I at this point, I think he knew that these people were going to come. I think that he was hopeful that they were going to come and that everything was going to be okay. And then as soon as people came that were willing to take other people back to America.
Yeah.
He was like, the fuck if that's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what happens when, like, murderers or whoever are held like against their, not against the world, but like, you know, when like some, like a big shooting happens and then the person that does the shooting ends up committing suicide because they don't want to get, they don't want to die from like,
they're people. Trapped.
Yeah. They're at this point, I feel like he was, he felt super trapped. Yeah. Like he was like, if I don't fucking do this, then someone else is going to do it.
Exactly. Like this was, he was like put into a corner by having like the media there.
Yeah.
And
honestly.
Having to see how it like actually was.
Yeah.
How he actually is. And how he had
exactly.
to do something.
And now having people that were living inside of the commune
saying
leave,
that they wanted to defect.
Yeah. Like, he was like, the fuck if that's going to happen.
No.
Absolutely not. No way. So yeah, he said on camera, he said, it's okay if people leave. And then I think off of camera, he said that they're trying to destroy the camp.
Oh, okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah. So, okay. This is where it gets really, like fucked up. This is like a part of the plane shooting and stuff. But before that, Congressman Ryan, they held like kind of a party almost that the night before, and they were saying Congressman Ryan got up there and said, when I go back to America, I'm going to tell people how great it is here and how everybody loves it here and all that stuff. Like made a note of that and told another person that was like one of the security people for Jim Jones, told them that if anybody asks me, I'm going to tell them that it's great here, that like everybody loves it, basically I'm gonna give it a good review no matter what. And he still was like, I don't fucking believe it.
And
there's footage of Congressman Ryan on the plane to Guyana. And he said, he was like, if they want to leave, we're gonna fucking bring them back to America. So I feel like he was just saying that to get people out. Anyways, okay, so this is where it gets like, this is where fucking everything just was
this is
super like downhill slope, just like fucking nosedive
so fast,
very fast. Within a matter of like hours, it was he had lost everything. So they began to depart on a large dump truck because remember the commune is not right next to the airship, so they had to take. I mean, you know, it's,
they had to take them back.
Yeah, they had to take a, some, like, they don't have cars, so they took a dump truck, which was basically just, like, it looks like a dump truck, but it looks like, almost like a military-grade dump truck.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't think that that's important, but I just thought I would
add that in there. Like, the detail of it.
So they began to depart on the, dump truck, and they were headed to the airstrip, that was like his Congressman Ryan's people. And then Congressman Ryan and Dwyer, I don't remember who that one was, but some other person stayed behind in Jonestown to process any additional defectors. So like they were willing to take people back if they wanted to come back. Shortly after the dump truck initially departed, temple member Don Sly grabbed Ryan with a knife and, tried to stab him.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh god, that's insane.
Yeah. And thankfully, well, I don't know why I'm saying thankfully, but
so
he wasn't killed at that
point.
He
survived this.
Yeah. And this is Congressman Ryan, who is like
a US Congressman.
A fucking US Congressman.
He's important.
Yeah, and I feel like this is when everybody heard that like shit is hitting the fan.
Yeah, and that people are trying to defect, people want to leave.
Yeah, and that it I think once they realized that one of their own people had tried to kill someone else, they were like, something is wrong. Like, I think that it felt really eerie all day. Like, something didn't feel right.
Like, the people living there knew.
Yeah, they were like, something is really going wrong. Because they knew how fucking crazy this guy was. They knew that Jim Jones was fucking crazy, and they were like, I don't want to be here. I just want... And, like, I think also a lot of them had families that they had made there, you know? And so it was hard for them to say, I want to leave when
everything you
have is
there.
Yeah. And so I feel like a lot of them just felt trapped.
Mm-hmm.
So, Congressman Ryan ended up being okay. Basically someone tackled the, guy with the knife to the ground. So there was one plane coming to get Congressman Ryan. And then there was an additional plane because they knew that
they were bringing more people back.
Yeah. Cause so at first they didn't know if they were bringing any people back. So they had, they had basically ordered another plane to come back during that time because they knew that they were going to be defectors. So they decided to get another one, but it was a smaller plane. So the first plane only held the 18 people that initially came.
Mm-hmm.
They got a smaller plane. The smaller plane was supposed to arrive between 4:30 and 4:45 p.m., but didn't arrive until 5:10.
Okay.
So if it, I mean, I don't know, but maybe if it had arrived on time, then maybe. It would have been
different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the, like, at least the smaller plane would have gotten away versus, I don't think the bigger plane would have gotten away but. Okay, so this is the plane shooting, and then we're going to get into
The poisoning,
which is fucking crazy.
Which is insane.
Okay, so the smaller plane had a guy named Layton on it, and he decided to shoot the plane, like, people that were inside of the plane.
Yeah.
He injured a few, but no one died on that plane. A tractor with a trailer attached, driven by members of the People's Temple, they were called the Red Brigade Security Squad.
Oh, shit.
What a fucking name for yourself.
Yeah. All these names.
How entitled.
Groups, right? With a Red Beret.
First of all, you're on a fucking, you're on a fucking tractor, so.
Yeah, if you're driving.
Calm down.
If you're driving a tractor, it's your, like, vehicle for your security squad, and it's not.
It's not a Red Brigade, to say the least.
Wait, Red Brigade? I heard Red Beret, like they were wearing Red Berets. And I absolutely said it. And I was like, oh, they got special hats? Like,
oh my god.
Red Brigade.
Brigade, yeah.
We're on the same page now.
Okay, good. Red Berets.
This is the Red Berets. Which is like a thing, right? That's a thing.
Yeah, but that's so perfect.
It's so funny.
There's like a bunch of people.
There's a rumor in like fucking potato sacks.
Oh my fucking god.
Red hats.
That's amazing. And I'm sorry for all of your losses.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's super fucked up. when the tractor was about 30 feet from the plane, they opened fire on the people getting onto the plane and the people inside of the plane. At least two shooters circled the plane on foot. People think that there was 9 shooters total, but no one's really sure because a lot of people that survived that had to, like, pretend to be dead.
Yeah.
One of the women that got shot and survived, I don't know how the fuck she survived, but she pretended to be dead, and a guy came up to her and shot her point blank to, like, make sure that she was dead,
And she still survived?
Holy shit. Yeah. That's insane. I don't understand how, but...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she did. It's crazy. And then Ryan was killed after being shot more than 20 times.
Holy shit.
Which I feel like is a personal attack.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is absolutely sending a message.
Yeah. So not a lot of, not everyone died that was a part of the plane shooting.
But
that's why the total at the commune is 909 for the deaths. And then
the total is 918 because then.
Yes.
Okay.
Because of the plane.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
That's fucking,
that's insane.
So that was the start of when everything decided to.
Yeah.
And also, obviously Jones wasn't mentioned in the shootings that happened, but no one knows for sure if he ordered it, but I mean, they're pretty fucking sure that the leader ordered it, I think, as most leaders do.
Uh-huh.
So, like,
this is absolutely an ordered hit. So basically,
absolutely an ordered hit.
What came after that was basically, like, Jones went absolutely insane.
Well, because he knew at that point that no, America wasn't going to let him get away with that shit.
He wasn't going to be able to keep doing what he was doing. And so in the past, he had always said that he wanted his followers to be ready to die for him. He had said that on several occasions, and he had done this thing where he had given people what he said was poison.
What is it called? The white something?
What was it called? Wait. It's that he bought off-brand Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Which the
flavory.
He called, like...
Oh, what did he call
it? They were titled something. They were titled, like, the white trials or something.
Yeah, it was something like that, but he had said he was giving them poison punch, and a bunch of people drank it, and then he revealed that it wasn't poison, and they were great followers because they were ready to die for him.
Yeah. And so, it wasn't just for him. Like, he made it as if, like, they were ready to die for,
like, their cause.
Yeah, for, like, he said, if they're not going to let us die, well, fuck, I'm taking over your subject.
No, go for it.
But he was saying, like, if they're not going to let us die the right way, like, we need to die with dignity and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't think anybody wanted to fucking die.
He was spewing some crazy fucking rhetoric about this, like, beforehand. And so we get to, like, the day of the plane shooting, and then Jones is, like, cornered, and this is the move he makes, is he makes up a vat of, like, Flavor Aid, poisons it with cyanide, and, what was the other part?
Honestly, they were chemicals that I couldn't even pronounce. Yeah.
It was cyanide, and there was also Valium. Mm-hmm. And so both of those were in it, and he had his, like, disciples, I guess, like, come into, like, their big, like, meeting hall, and he had them poison their children first.
Yeah, did you figure out how they got cyanide?
I did not hear how they got cyanide.
Okay, so he was able to get cyanide because he had a jeweler's license, and so he shipped 1 pound per month to the compound from America.
Oh my God.
I know, I was like, what the fuck? Like, how? Because I was thinking about it and I was like, how the fuck did he get cyanide?
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, that makes a lot of
sense. They're in South America. Yeah. Like, there's not like
a jeweler's license he could get it.
He could order it from America and he was able to get 1 pound per month. And I don't know how much cyanide a person needs to kill them, but.
I feel like not very much. And mixing it into Kool-Aid.
Especially not fucking kids. Like,
yeah. So basically, he had everyone poison their children first. Mm-hmm. And so 304 children were some of the victims. So a third of the victims were children, which is
fucking disgusting.
Insane and disgusting. And then he, like, basically said after that people wouldn't want to live anymore without their children.
No.
And so then the adults.
Which he was right.
He was right. People, I mean, after you poison your own child, how are you going to live with yourself?
Yeah.
Even if it's for Big Daddy Jim Jones. Like,
and I think it's important to note that, like, cyanide poisoning is not just, like, they peacefully went in their sleep. Yeah, they didn't peacefully go in their sleep. Like, people were, like, foaming at the mouth. They were, like, sneezing.
It's a horrible thing.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
Like, and so,
oh my God, it makes me, like, want to throw up even thinking about it.
And so then the adults also drank the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. But what they found out afterwards is this wasn't just a mass suicide.
Yeah.
Because they found a lot of, when they went to find the bodies, there were bent syringes in a lot of the bodies, which basically meant that they were also injecting people with cyanide and, like, whatever mix of chemicals that it was. I know there was Valium in there and a lot of others.
Yeah, there was, like, other chemicals. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is, but it's gotta be.
Well, the thing is, he was really trying to kill these people. Like, he was mixing everything.
Basically,
like, there was no way anyone who drank that or had it injected in them could come out alive. So basically, if you weren't going to drink the Kool-Aid, they would inject you with it.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And so, like, they found bodies with bent syringes in their arms, basically showing that they were struggling against them.
Yeah.
And still got poisoned. And so 909 people altogether on the commune were poisoned and killed.
Fucking.
And then, do you want to say what happened to Jim Jones after this or what he did?
Because, no. Like, I won't. You can say it.
So basically, right after that, Jim Jones shot himself.
Yeah.
After he killed 900 people.
So
this was, like, a mass murder-suicide.
Yeah, and there was, like, a couple, like, I know that...
There were a couple survivors.
Yeah, and I know that, like, people had run into the jungle, like, once they, like, felt like something was really going on, and, like,
which
some
was
of the
a
people...
Good call.
Yeah, and some of the people that ran to the jungle just ended up getting shot.
Yeah.
So, like, some of it wasn't... They didn't even get... Some of them didn't even get poisoned. They just got straight up shot because they, like, weren't dying. And then I know that they didn't tell the kids that they were dying.
No.
Like, they didn't. Yeah, they were just like, don't tell... He said, don't tell the kids that they're dying.
Just, like, tell them that they're, like, drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah, just tell them, basically, like... Or just don't even tell them anything, I guess.
Yeah, just give them a cup of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I know that there was one guy who... he does a lot of, like, speaking on what happened that day, and he survived. And he said that his wife, their children got poisoned. I don't think that they did it. I think that someone else did
well,
it.
Well, since they had that, like, communal, like, children thing, I bet the children were born on the commune. And
they were
everyone was their children's parents.
Yeah, and they were, like, so the kids were poisoned, and his wife ended up drinking the Kool-Aid because not because she wanted not because she wanted to be a part of it, but because,
like, you're scared.
Yeah,
like, if you don't do it, you're getting shot anyway.
Yeah, and she told her husband, she was like, you need to hold me while I die, because I have, without my kids, I have nothing left to live for.
Yeah.
Like, which is exactly what Jim Jones knew, was going to happen. And so, he's
an absolute psychopath.
Yeah, but the husband, I don't know if he's still alive, but he was alive to do the movie, and he talks about it a lot, about what happened.
But yeah, that is Jonestown. It's a heavy topic.
Oh my God.
And so, like, when I see it referred to as, like, mass suicide, that's, like, absolutely not,
I know,
what
it really bothers me. Well, and when it first came out, it was just, like, everybody drank this. And also, the way that it was handled was so, you know, fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're dealing with not just, like, American fuck-ups, but then you're also dealing with, like, Guyana fuck-ups, mm-hmm. too, from there.
Oh, yeah.
People. And also, America said that they didn't want to investigate. They said it was a mass
insane.
Yeah, they said it was
a mass
suicide. And there was no need to investigate.
Yeah, and, like, it was an absolute massacre. It was not a mass suicide.
Yeah,
like,
and by the time they got some of the bodies back to America to do autopsies, they were so decomposed that they couldn't do it at all.
I read a part where they were, like, flying over, like, the scene of it.
Yeah.
900 bodies.
Yeah.
Which, imagine how many.
It's
there
fucking
are. Like,
horrible.
It's insane.
Yeah,
and, like, all that was left was the vat that the Kool-Aid was in. That's how long it had been.
So, in the movie, it shows that.
Oh,
God. And it shows, like, cups on the ground. And it's not, this is, like, a reenactment, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. Like, it's so, real.
Yeah, it's
I couldn't watch it when I was by,
like,
myself.
So heavy, yeah.
And it's not even, like, a horror movie. Like,
it
was just, like, what actually fucking
it's
happened.
It's, like, so fucking scary.
So, conspiracies. I only one because I don't really remember the other ones, but I remember this one, like, pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But, so the conspiracy is that the CIA is actually behind it.
Maybe that's why America didn't want to investigate.
Well, that's part of it,
yeah.
And so then also, when Guyana first did, like, the initial count,
mm-hmm.
their count was only at 400 people
who
had died.
It's only half.
Only half, yeah, less than even half.
Less than half.
And then it rose to 700. And then when Americans got there,
it rose to 900. Okay.
Yeah. Which they were like, how the fuck do you miss?
How do you miss 500 people?
500 people. There's no fucking way that you miss that many people. And they said that there were so many bodies under other bodies that they couldn't get it.
God.
And but how do you... 500 bodies were under other bodies?
No, that's...
That doesn't make
sense. There's no way.
That would... I don't think that that's it. And then they were saying that that the people in Guyana that were doing the counts couldn't count.
Oh, they just couldn't?
That they just couldn't count. And I was like,
That's a weird excuse.
That's very weird.
Yeah, we sent the guys who don't know how to count to do it.
Yeah, so I don't know why they would want to make it more people. I don't necessarily know what their reasoning is behind it, but basically they said that the CIA is behind it and that they wanted to keep it under wraps. And maybe I think it was because
it was 400 people under wraps, though. Like, even that is an insane amount.
It's super confusing. And I think that the conspiracy goes, like, way more in depth than obviously goes more in depth than that, but yeah, it's just weird that the count changed three different times. And so now people don't even know
if
900 people died is accurate.
Oh, damn, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, a lot of people think that way more people escaped into the jungle,
mm-hmm.
because it's kind of weird that only, like, I think, like, a handful of people escaped into the jungle. And so they were like, it's kind of weird that 900 people were like, fuck this shit. And but, like, the surrounding people couldn't.
No.
They were able to take control of them, you know? So I think that people think that.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot more people probably escaped or were, like, trying to escape at least.
And so I think that that's why I think that that's part of it, too, that they think that the CIA is trying to hide those people that escaped into the jungle from, like, saying what actually happened. Because they had... Because
if they say that, like, the CIA is behind it, like...
Well, yeah, if they say that, like, how shitty Jonestown was and, like, talk about, like, legitimately talk about how horrible it was.
Then people would be like, why didn't the government do anything about
this? Yeah, because the government was sending them stuff.
Yeah.
The government was involved. So many politicians were involved. That's, like, some conspiracy
theory I can absolutely subscribe to.
Exactly. That's what I was saying, too. I was like, I 100% believe that.
I 100% believe that Jim Jones was the crazy leader, but also that the government was, like, funding him and, like...
Oh, yeah. They were like, yeah, here you go. And I don't know what... I don't know what the reasoning for it was, which is also weird because why were they so involved in something? So, like, what did they get out of it?
Yeah.
I don't know what they got out of
it. Maybe we just don't know yet.
Yeah, maybe. Also, I wanted to go over demographics because it's kind of, like, weird. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess not weird, but I was kind of surprised. Oh, that's not the right one. I think 45% of Jonestown, like the Jonestown population,
mm-hmm.
was Black women.
Oh,
let me. My nose is so stuffy.
You and Neptune.
I know, me and Neptune. Two peas in a pod. I'm gonna start like.
Just start snorting into the mic. Did you come here to listen to heavy breathing? Because you came to the right place.
I have plenty of that.
Just here to heavy breathe.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, so 45% of the population were Black women. 23% were Black males. 13% were white females. 11% were white males. And then there was, 3% were mixed female and 1% were, mixed male. And then there was like 13 and they break it down. So 460 women were Black women, 231 were, Black male, 138 were white female, 108 were white male. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. 45% of them were Black women.
That is really interesting.
I know.
I wonder why the demographics worked out that way, especially, like, in this cult, why there were so many
I'm not sure. I don't know what...
Generally, cults are a bunch of white people.
Well, and I think the reason why people were so into Jim Jones was because he heavily preached against, like, racism and was... really into integration and all that stuff. So I think that's why he got such a big following. So I'm wondering if that's why the demographics are different than most of the
I'm sure cults. It is because a lot of other cults are very like...
Yeah, because Jim Jones is a white
exclusive.
Male.
Yeah.
So it seems... I don't know. I guess it doesn't really make
a difference. Generally, when you hear about cults and like faith healing stuff, it's a lot of white people.
A lot of white people, yeah. I guess it doesn't really make a difference, but
it is an interesting
story. I think that's why so many people were so attracted to him because he was
He was so progressive.
So revolutionary and at that time. And so charismatic.
To hear about these horrifying guys who were so charismatic.
I know.
Like Ted Bundy, Jim Jones, like everyone saying that like he's super charismatic, like he's super personable.
And it's just so like, manipulative.
It's so manipulative and it's so scary.
I know, because, you know, you think about the people that you meet on a day-to-day.
Yeah.
And you're like, they have these great stories.
Yeah, he's super cool. He's super nice.
He's turns like preaching
Ted Bundy. Jim Jones.
And they just fucking murder you, and you can't even ever talk about it ever again.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane that someone, like, can put on that much of a show.
I know, which is what scares me is because I'm so fucking gullible.
Oh, yeah. We're both gullible.
Hopefully Trent doesn't end up being Ted Bundy, the next Ted Bundy.
I hope not.
Oh my god. They have the same initials. fuck me.
That's it for you. He is the next Ted Bundy. I don't know if Ted Bundy went like 6 years into finding one victim though.
Oh.
Maybe he did. Let's do a Ted Bundy episode.
Or maybe I'm like the wife that makes them seem normal.
Oh yeah, maybe. If you ever have a basement, you also have to have a key. I'm just throwing that out there. Oh. You have a basement. It can't just be like, oh, that's his space. Like, you gotta go in there.
If there's a random freezer,
no freezers locked. In the basement. No locked freezers in general.
I know. Yeah.
The freezer doesn't need to lock. Yeah, confirmed.
We're so scared now. Confirmed.
But yeah, this was Jonestown.
That was Jonestown. There's so much more information, too.
There's so much more. This is all we could cover in, like, an hour.
Yeah, and this is over a fucking hour. And there's so much. I'm going to link, I'm going to post about this on Instagram and stuff, but I'm not going to post the pictures of any of, like,
the victims. No.
If you're into that shit, if you really want to know the full thing, you can fucking Google it. There are so many pictures of, like,
all of them. Yeah, I saw some of the pictures and I was horrified.
Because they were news, because of all of that stuff, they were able to get a good, I don't want to say good, but they were able to get, like, a really in-depth, you can find information on this just about everywhere.
There's so much more to Jonestown.
Yeah. I'm going to post the link to the tape. Mm-hmm. It's really long. It's really long and it's really fucked up.
It's really fucked up.
Yeah. It's really.
Yeah.
I've listened to a lot of, like, killers talk about what's happened, like, what they've killed or who they've killed.
Huge like this.
But for, like, yeah, and honestly.
And instructions.
And honestly, like, when he talks, for some reason, it really freaks me out. So just be warned that.
Yeah, it's a little spooky. It's really spooky.
And it, you know, be cautious. Don't listen to it
around
kids.
If you know you have nightmares, you know it's not.
If you have a trigger, don't listen to it.
Just don't listen to it.
Yeah, honestly. I'll link it for those that really want to. Yeah, but
for those of you who really want to get into it, but, you know.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Sorry if we gave you nightmares.
'The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.